Good evening, everyone. This is the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee meeting for Tuesday, May 31st, 2016. I'm Brian Edwards-Tiegert, the committee chair. I'd like to ask our secretary, R. Paul Martin, to please call the roll.
Okay. Sam Agarwal.
Yes.
Fred Blair.
Present.
Adriana Kasanov.
She's probably muted. She was here a second ago.
Joseph Davis.
Present.
Brian Edwards-Tiegert.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Tony Norman. Michael Novick.
Present.
Tareen Roberts.
Presenting.
Eileen Rosen. Barbara Whipperman. Should go back, I think. Adriana Kasanov, Tony Norman, Eileen Rosen, Barbara Whipperman. Well, we have seven anyway.
Well, that's a quorum, so we'll move on with the meeting. I sent out a proposed agenda. A reminder that this is our special meeting. It's just supposed to be informational about KPFK. It consists of a 10-minute report by the general manager, 20 minutes for questions, 20 minutes for discussion and or action, and a hard adjournment time, 54 minutes from now. May I get a motion to approve that agenda?
So moved.
Novick moves approval of the agenda. Does anyone wish to propose any changes? Hearing none.
I have a question.
Yeah,
I'll take the question.
Can you hear me?
I heard you, Adriana. I'll take the question first, then I'll call on you. Go ahead, R. Paul.
Yeah, I know this is a special one, but we've gotten the information from the CFO up to the end of April, and in the 30 days of April, Pacifica has had its deficit grow by $530,000. It might be appropriate if we got at least a little bit of something from the CFO regarding that, because it seems kind of alarming. So could we put that in the agenda, or is the chair of the opinion that the meeting is so special that we can't even put something like that in the agenda?
I'm of the opinion that it would take a two-thirds supermajority to suspend the rules and do so.
All right.
As we called it as a special meeting.
The fastest thing to do is for me to make I move to amend. Look at this. I move to amend the agenda to make item 2A, report from the CFO regarding deficits, 5 minutes.
Eileen's joining.
Hi, Eileen. Welcome to the call. Okay.
Joining
the call. The proposal is to add a 5-minute CFO report regarding deficits as item 2A. Is there any objection to that?
Sorry. This is Serene.
Yes, Serene.
I need to have the. I'm sorry. I'm driving. Can I just have the agenda ready, or tell me where 2A is? What's it before and what's it after?
Immediately after agenda review and approval.
No, I want to. I object.
Okay. Their debate.
Michael, so second.
Can I offer a substitute?
Sure, Serene. What's your substitute?
After the KPFK review.
Okay. Yeah. That would make it item, let's call it 3.5. The substitute is to keep the item, but move it after KPFK to item 3.5. Is there any objection to the substitute?
Yeah. I think we should, we can debate.
Hey, if you want to debate, go for it. I hope we can vote quickly, whatever it is.
Yes. I think this is something we should, have in front of us. We're going to be talking about one station, but all of Pacifica has this rather large, very serious situation where the deficit has climbed $530,000 in 30 days, and I think we need to hear about that. I think hearing about that is something that should come before talking about a single station. And I think that may also inform the discussion of the single station. So I think it's important that we hear about this and hear about this rather fast.
Michael, to the sec.
Michael, go ahead.
We invited our general manager onto this call at the time that we set the call for. I think it's rude to postpone our presentation. Also, KPFK did not add to that deficit. So.
Okay, this is on the substitute. This is on the substitute, which is keeping the item but moving it after KPFK. If we spend too much time debating the agenda, these are going to be moot points. Any further debate on the substitute?
Yeah, Tony on the call.
Got you, Tony. Okay, hearing no further debate on the substitute, R. Paul, can you call the roll on the motion to substitute?
Okay, hold on one second.
This is Serene's motion to take the item you're proposing and move the proposal after KPFK.
Okay. The chair has outlined what the substitute amendment is. Sam Agarwal.
Abstain.
Fred Blair.
No.
Adriana Kasanov.
Yes.
Joseph Davis.
Yes.
Brian Edwards Teeker.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin, no. Tony Norman.
Abstain.
One second. Michael Novick.
Yes.
Serene Roberts.
Yes.
Eileen Rosen.
Yes.
Barbara Wipperman.
Abstain.
Okay. I think that's everybody. 6-4, 2 against, 3 abstentions.
Okay, the substitute is now the main amendment. Is there any objection to the substitute as the main amendment? Hearing none, that's more than the two-thirds threshold we needed. It's added to the agenda as item 3.5. Any further amendments to the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is now approved, and we are on to the state of KPFK. It opens with a 10-minute presentation by KPFK's general manager. Leslie, go ahead.
All right. I guess the question that seems to be on everybody's mind is where are we with a business manager? Sam and I have agreed on a candidate. We sent him the required forms for a background check on Thursday, and he's assured us he will get back to us with those. So as soon as the background check clears, assuming it does, we can go ahead and we will have a business manager in the house. Because we don't have a business manager, I sent out, and I hope that either Sam or Brian distributed them, some reports that have essentially the national office figures and the corrected figures that I did here on a spreadsheet. Because we don't have, because I don't have access to Great Plains, those have not yet been entered into Great Plains, but they will be when a business manager gets here. Because of that, you have in front of you our current profit loss. You have in front of you budget to actuals, and you have in front of you our cash flow for the remainder of the year. Let's see. Most of the corrections, by the way, are accruals. Just so you know, we have some differences here, but there are notes in the income statement as to what those corrections are. We've accomplished a lot this year. We have paid off our seniority and pension past notes. We are essentially on budget. We are current on all our operating expenses. And our May fund drive went, it looks like it'll be at least $80,000 over our $370,000 goal. Those are all good signs. It doesn't mean we don't have disappointments here as well. We have not made the progress I was hoping for on the premiums. We have too many fund drive days, and it doesn't look like I'm going to get the staff back to 100% before our anticipated date of September 1. I was hoping we could do that a little bit earlier, but that doesn't seem possible at this time. One of the questions you had was fund drive, and first of all, let me say that one good fund drive does not make a trend, and I'm well aware of that. But I'm also well aware that we've made serious efforts here to improve our sound and particularly to improve our community relations in the Southern California area. We've done a lot of on-the-ground outreach. We had an event on Saturday that could have brought in 1,000 people. They were coming and going. I saw 500 easily when I was there, and I was only there for a few hours of the event. The People's School of Broadcasting is creating a good buzz here in the station as well as outside the station. And in fact, I've got a bunch of volunteers in the next room right now who are working on a show called Geek Radio, which I think promises to be fun. We've been meeting with grassroots groups around town, and that's starting to pay off too. And we have gotten a lot of work out of volunteers here. They're just contributing to this station, heart and soul. We've got people around here now who are here 2 and 3 days a week for hours at a time working on one project or another. We've gotten great cooperation from the staff on keeping the premiums low. And in general, the approach here has been to build a buzz, and I think we're doing that. I think that may be what we're seeing here. Let's see, what else? You wanted initiatives. We're going to be doing a smallish, about 30 people event, dinner, or brunch rather, with major donors in July to kind of bring them back in the fold. We're calling it a stakeholders meeting. They're going to be presented with a prospectus. We're doing formal invitations, and we're trying to nudge them back into a commitment to hold KPFK together. I'm working with one of our board members on that, two of our board members on that. And in September, we're hoping to use that to move out to a more celebrity-style, bigger event, using those stakeholders to kind of bring people in and bring people around. One of your questions was best practices, and let me say it's working for us to diversify our airwaves, to reach out to more of the communities in this town. I think that's part of our success here, if you can call just holding our own success, and that's what we're doing. I don't want to exaggerate that. Yeah, and we have, kept in touch, gotten in touch, worked with trying to find out what people in the communities here want and want on their airwaves. One of the agenda items was roadblocks, and I think I can say that I'm assuming the national office is overworked, but getting information from them is difficult at times. One of our big roadblocks is that our staff is still on 80% pay, and there's no way around that. We could have started to bring back our own news department this week when KPFA was in fund drive, and frankly, we don't have the personnel to do it when we have 1.5 people and the one person is only 80%. And we have governance here that seems to be more involved in criticizing destructively than criticizing constructively. I would really appreciate more general ideas on what we could be doing than being critical of what we are doing. And frankly, nobody in governance at this point at any level has thanked our staff for their sacrifices. Our staff has sacrificed, our full-time staff has sacrificed about 28% of their pay this year. And absolutely nobody except me has said thank you to them. And I would hope that somebody somewhere would take that up. My concerns, we don't have any reserves. And as I said, one good fund drive isn't a turnaround. And of course, next year, when we go back to full salary, is a major concern of mine. Are there any questions?
Okay, we'll go into the 20 minutes we have allotted for questions. I will take a stack. But before I do, I just want to preface it. Leslie, one thing we've had from the other stations that have presented so far is a fund drive history that shows the length of days spent fundraising over several years and how much was raised. Did Sam send you a template?
He didn't mention that. It just said fund drive experience on it or something.
I'll send it out to you. One thing we're trying to keep an eye out for, which does not necessarily show up in financial statements, is the early signs of diminishing returns and donor fatigue. But I will send you out what we got from one of the other stations.
Okay, thank you.
And whenever you have 2 free minutes, that would be a helpful document for us and probably for you as well. So we'll take a stack on questions. Well, this could be a very short question round, folks.
Tony?
I've got Tony. Who else? All right, go ahead, Tony.
Just a quick question. You said you were having difficulty getting information out of National. What kind of information are you having difficulty trying to get?
I have been asking for several weeks, for instance, for COBRA forms for vision and dental. They just came through today. I need someone at National to reach out to the widow of our deceased chief engineer, and that hasn't happened. Just information requests that are not happening at this point. When I came in, and I, you know, no blame to Sam or anybody in the National office. As I say, I am sure everybody there is overworked as we are. But the fact that we have had temps in here from October to January has, and they weren't familiar with the chart of accounts, has thrown off our chart of accounts a little bit, and nobody at National office has the time to make those corrections. Now, again, we're going to get a business manager here, and we can do that as soon as he gets oriented. But, you know, a little bit of help for our situation would have been and will be very helpful. And, you know, again, no blame to anybody. Everybody here is overworked and overstressed, you know, on every front. But we could have used a little bit more from them.
Opening the stack back up on questions.
Fred?
One at a time. I think I heard Fred.
Could you add Sam first?
Okay, I've got Sam, then Fred. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, I just want to respond to Leslie's comment about the National Office not able to supply the information. The reason is that these are all HR-related matters, and we don't have any HR person in-house, and the skills are not there. So the problem is that we have to refer this to different people, or sometimes the insurance companies, and we are not sure how to proceed with that, and sometimes we are stuck with the technical issues. So that is the biggest reason that we are missing in this respect. So as I'm streamlining the job descriptions and the positions, I'm looking into this very carefully. What should be the way out? This is not, say, from Leslie alone. We get HR-related questions from all the stations.
Okay. Thanks for that clarification, Sam. Fred, you're next. And remember, folks, we are on questions before discussion. Go ahead, Fred.
Okay. Leslie, the programming changes you have made here at KPFK have replaced two programmers that have historically raised large sums of money during our fund drives with new, untested programmers and no history or experience in fundraising. These programs have been on for 4 months now and through two fund drives, and they're basically at the bottom of our of the dollars raised. The KPFK LSB has requested you to return these programs to the programming schedule to increase fundraising revenue. Can you explain why it would not be a good idea to increase revenue by returning these programs?
Wow, this is the third time I've asked you.
Well, Serene, it's a stack for questions, so I can put you on next, but Leslie gets to respond.
It's more of a point of order.
What is your point of order?
That I don't believe we should be discussing individual programs, which means we're discussing individual programmers in open session.
I didn't mention any names.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Leslie.
I'm going to have to concur with Serene on this one. I have discussed this with our LSB on two occasions. And I can say this to that.
That's my spot. I was waiting for it.
Serene, please mute yourself.
She's fighting for parking.
Okay.
New York City.
I can't respond to our LSB because when the LSBs start interfering in programming decisions, it opens a box of worms, a can of worms, not only here, but across the network. I don't feel comfortable discussing the two programmers on the public stream. And frankly, I think there's a principle here, a division between management and the LSB that's being crossed. And I would hardly want to open that so that LSBs across the network start determining what programming should be on. I think that's a dangerous precedent.
So, Serena, I take it, I put you down on the question stack because you said point of information, but was that covered by what you already brought up?
Yeah, it was really a point of order. I'm sorry, I'm out of practice.
That's okay. Anyone else to stack for questions?
Yeah, Michael.
I've got Michael. Who else? All right, go ahead, Michael.
So I'm looking, comparing, you know, last year's budget to this year projected, and I know that we, you know, basically the PNB, this National Finance Committee, the PNB mandated a trimming our anticipated listener support because of the trend, the downward trend. And so correspondingly, we had to reduce expenses. Part of that you referred to, which is the cut in staff time, and that's management as well, right, was cut to 80% currently?
Yes.
But you also significantly reduced administrative expenses, development expenses, and I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit more about that. Last year, administrative was close to 500,000. This year, it's about 360. Development was over 500,000 this year, about half that. And could you say sort of how you managed to achieve those reductions?
I am keeping an eye on everything here. I don't know what to, part of it, frankly, is that we are current on our operating expenses, so we're not paying fines and penalties. That's some of the administrative increase, improvement, rather. Under development, what we're looking at there is we finished our contract for billboards and bus stations that weren't working for us. That saved us about $3,000 a month there. Under programming, we were paying for personnel for our FSTV program. And when FSTV canceled that contract, that expense went away. But I'm looking at everything at this point. I am now at the point of starting to shop around some of our contracted services and seeing if we can't find reductions there.
All right, thank you.
Okay, we have 10 minutes remaining on questions, if there are enough questions to fill 10 minutes. I've got our Paul. Who else?
Barbara.
Go ahead. Sorry, who was that?
Barbara.
I've got our Paul, then Barbara. Who else?
Serene. Can you hear me?
Our Paul, then Barbara, then Serene. Who else?
Thanks.
Okay, go ahead, our Paul.
Okay, last time we heard from KPFK, we were hearing about going to arbitration on a number of grievances, and I have heard that some of these did, in fact, get decided, and I'd like to hear what an update is on all of the labor things that have been filed, the grievances, et cetera, any NLRB hearings, any of that, and I'd like to hear about that. Also, I must say, this is procedural, I suppose, but the NFC was supposed to have gotten some of this information earlier than it has. I mean, we got this KPFK spreadsheet an hour and a half before the meeting, and we were supposed to get it significantly earlier than that as per a motion. So it's a little bit problematic to suddenly get this thing and have to rush through it while we have the meeting going. Anyway, there are the questions regarding the arbitrations and grievances and what's happening with those.
All right, let me flip those.
You can answer on a public call, Leslie.
Okay. Let me flip those, and yes, my apologies for getting those out late. Everything financial here goes out late because I'm doing the finances. I can only apologize. It was the best that could happen here. As far as arbitration goes, because we paid the pension and seniority payments, those were not issues in arbitration. Of course, the NLRB is not involved. If it were, I would have certainly notified everybody faster than this. Both parties have submitted briefs at this time, and we are waiting for the arbitrator's opinion.
What is the outstanding issue that's under arbitration, Leslie?
That, I believe, is confidential at this time. If you're going to cover me, if I put this out there, the arbitration itself was confidential, and this is a public call. Now, if you are telling me to answer that question, I will.
Well, it's hard for me to know if it's kosher without knowing the question. If it pertains to an individual employee, better to stay a part of it. If it's a question of how to interpret a clause in the union contract, it's your call.
Point of order.
What's your point of order, Adriana?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I think that the general manager, do I understand right? The general manager is thinking that it's confidential, and we're pushing the general manager to talk about something that she thinks that is confidential. I want to be sure that what we are doing, because she already said.
That's not a point of order, and I believe that's what we were just discussing, and it's her call.
Again, I have not heard you tell me that you will cover me if this turns out to be a violation of confidentiality. And I need that assurance if I'm going public with this. The staff here does not know the issues.
Okay. Well, it's not something I can assure you of. As I am not in a position to do that, and I don't know what the answer is or the issue is. So we'll move on. Barbara, you're next.
I wondered if, I don't know whether at this time, but at some point, I'd like to hear some more about the billboards and bus ads, what the history was that you had with that. You said they weren't working. I'd like to know how much, in a brief statement, what you had hoped to accomplish, what it cost, and what made you think that it wasn't worth it?
First of all, the billboards and bus ads were not my choice. They were contracted by my predecessor, a 12-month contract at $3,300 a month, I believe, maybe just $3,000. They were fairly generic announcements.
That was just the bus ads?
We had logo plus $3,000 or $3,300 a month.
Was just the bus ads, not the billboards?
That was the whole package.
Whole thing.
It was done through an advertising firm.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fairly generic spread of our logo and our call letters. Given that last year was certainly difficult for us financially, you know, and the message was not anything except our logo and our call letters and our signal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it was the worst idea going, but I didn't...
You had no evidence that it did anything.
I had no evidence that it was working, and we needed to cut expenses drastically here.
And was this a contract for a year?
So, Barbara, I need to let her finish her own sentences, and we're only allowed three back and forth. So you're at your limit. So please mute her phone. You can go back on stack later if you want. Leslie, go ahead.
Yeah, it was a 12-month contract from September to September.
Thank you.
Michael, next back briefly.
Next on stack is Serene, then Michael. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Serene.
Okay, thanks. And I'm sorry, I've been driving, so I've been... the report and perhaps my question is covered there, but I was interested in particular about the outreach that you've been doing and wondering what tools you've been using.
What we've been using is volunteers. We have been flyering every event going with our standard flyer, which simply has information about the station and the schedule on it. With some faces of our folks on the front. It's a trifold, pretty simple. We run copies here on plain paper. We really don't have the resources. We're struggling right now to buy mugs and bumper stickers and keep those in supply. So we're not investing in much more. But it's people on the ground. It's people from the outreach group that is going out to events. It's our appearance at events through we also do sponsorships here of music events, and we appear at those and table. We were at LA Salsa Fest. We broadcast live from there over the weekend. We were at a town hall and broadcast live from there. We're getting more engaged, going back to the roots here in Southern California, and focusing a lot of our programming on that, although right now we've switched into election mode and everybody's covering the elections in fun and exciting ways. We've met with grassroots groups across the city at this point. We need to get out more. We need to go through our whole signal range with some of that, and we need to prepare teams to do that. But we are working with volunteers and people from the People's School of Broadcasting, and one of their courses is in outreach, and we send them out into the streets. We can't afford to do much more, but it seems to be creating, as I say, a bit of a buzz here, and that's a good thing.
Thanks, sir.
Michael. Michael Novick, you're next.
Yes, sorry, I was muted. I just wanted to, this is really just to help answer some of the questions that were raised. It was billboards and bus benches. There weren't ads on the buses, they were bus benches. And none of it was in the original budget when the expense was incurred, which is one of the reasons we've been so far over budget in the previous fiscal year. The other thing I think about community events is we've had a series of events at the station itself. We've basically using the parking lot as a venue. We did a presentation of the theater piece about voices from the SHU, the security housing units, solitary confinement. We've had film showings and other events on the lot, music shows and other things that have brought people to the station and helped introduce it to the community. So I just want to add that.
Okay, that takes us to time on the question period. We're on to the 20 minutes we have allotted for discussion, and you are still allowed to ask questions in the course of discussion. We just didn't want the holding forth to get in front of people's requests for information. So, I'll take a stack on discussion. And you know what, I should ask, Leslie, can you, the spreadsheet you sent us, the tabs seem to be going back and forth between NO and INV. What does INV stand for?
Invoices. Those are the corrections to the National Office income statement.
Got it. And it doesn't look like a significant change to the bottom line in the quick comparison I'm doing. Is it mostly timing or categorization or what's...
Yeah, it's just redistributed for accrual purposes mostly.
Okay. And the cash flow forecast is National Office figures. There's no other tab on that. Does that mean you're roughly in agreement with what the National Office is forecasting?
The cash flow, there should be another tab on that one, but yes.
Oh, no, I see it. I'm sorry. The order flipped. I got it. Okay. All right, great. Thank you. I'll take a stack on discussion. Well, discussion is by no means mandatory. if we don't have any, we can move on.
Well, Michael, I would just reiterate the request that you made. I think if you get the MEMSIS over the, I think the request is in also locally, if we could see the MEMSIS sort of for the last 2 years and have a better understanding of how your fund drives are stacking up against the historic work, that would be very helpful.
It's hard to hear you, Michael.
He's asking for the fund drive history. And Leslie, you should have a template from what KPFT used sitting in your inbox.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, if that's it, we'll move on to the item that Arpal requested on the cumulative deficit in the network after 7 months. He asked that it be agendized as a report from SPAM with a time limit of... Sorry, was that Serene?
Yes.
You said point
gonna,
of something?
Yeah, are we going to say thank you and good night to Leslie? Or
yes.
I mean, are we done?
Thank you, Leslie. your sentence has been commuted for good behavior.
Thanks for coming on.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
We're on to the cumulative deficit. The caution I would sound about this is that April is a month when no stations are in fund drive, so there is generally a cumulative deficit through April. The question is how much better or worse it is than the budget, if the budget is something that has us breaking even at the end of the year. But Sam, are you on the call?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Did you want to present anything on the cumulative budget through April?
Yeah, so your assessment is right. It is a point-in-time situation. No doubt it is quite bad, because if you look at the individual tabs, and the biggest surprise is coming in from KPFA, they have a negative of 141,000, which is quite bad compared to, I think, the past trends. And generally speaking, it is because of the same reason that there was no fund drive, though no income coming in. Probably the fund drive got all done by March, the winter drive. So there was no revenue. The expenses were remaining fixed for the month for all the stations. But I would say, but let me look at the other tabs quickly, like WBAI and WPFW, and they also show a big deficit. Now, these deficits are alarming because, generally speaking, they don't have a prospect of going away in the two particular stations. In the other stations, perhaps, like KPFK definitely was in the black, but in other stations, we are assuming, we are hoping that those deficits may go away. I am not getting very optimistic messages from KPFA. That would be a little bit of a trouble sign. KPFT is also not, I would say, not kind of out of the woods, so to speak. So in general, I would say the trends are declining. I mean, the trend line is declining. And overall, we don't expect any hopeful news on a combined basis. So this would be my general take. Now, having said that, definitely that the figure of 550 deficit year to date is very, very alarming, because what it means that, say, there's hardly any cash to pay the bills. And we have seen that kind of played out in the payroll cycle, in the payment of central services, everything. And so it's kind of widespread. So that would be my take.
Okay, it was a five-minute item, and we have 3 minutes remaining for questions. I've got Adriana. Who else?
R. Paul.
Anyone else? Okay. Go ahead, Adriana.
Yes. I'm reading your information, right? Because what I see that we are saying about WBAI and PFW, and I can see, according to what you said, first of all, they are the only two ones that have that are carrying a balance from last year. It's not there, or the other station have zero from last year, really. That is the first question. But what I can see is that WBAI owes PRI, PFW 2, and KPFA 2. KPFAs have more than $16,000 owing to PRI. The only two stations that are paying PRI, according to your information, Sam, are KPFK and KPFT, right?
Are you referring to the central services that are due to PRA?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is the statement that I have received from their business manager today, and that I had given to the National Finance Committee committee. And there is some outstanding balance from the past year. So BAI, PFW, they owe from the last year, and the other stations had cleared their outstanding dues. For this year, almost every station has not paid, either partly or fully, the central services dues that are due to PRA.
I'm sorry, but I can see that KPFK and KPFT pay exactly almost what they need. KPFK owe $400, and KPFT pay the whole central service. I mean, the one that are owing money are KPFA, WBAI, and WPFW. KPFK and KPFT are up to date, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I misspoke. KPFT has paid everything. I see that now. And KPFK has just a little bit of a balance in the May services. Like, they have paid 4,000, they have paid 3,500 as compared to 4,910.
Right.
And KPFA and BI and PFW have not paid anything.
Paul.
Yeah. I'm glad the CFO is alarmed, because it's sort of alarming to me too. Yes, we have months when, you know, we hit the nadir of how much money we have around in the network, but I've never seen the deficit drop by more than $500,000 in 30 days. It's very alarming, and it isn't like, you know, on May 1st that all got wiped out and we started with a new slate. As of May 1st, we were still $530,000 in the red, pretty much. How are we going to deal with this? What are we going to do? I mean, that money is, you know, the expenses have outstripped the revenue by that much as of April 30th. And, I mean, can you give us any kind of idea of what May is looking like? I don't expect that May, even with the on-air fund drives going, is going to make up enough to do all of that. But can you give us an idea of how much we will make up on that and how much will be probably remaining that will be a large hole we'll have to scratch our heads about filling?
So I don't have much encouraging news on that front. The fund drives are doing okay for, like we heard from Leslie, KPFK had a good fund drive. They were over the goal, but in some other stations, the fund drive fell short. So that is one point. The second point is that there's already a backlog. There's already a deficit. A number of stations are already running in the red, and that money will not be covered, or that shortfall will not be covered from the fund drive, because it will not be enough to pay for the next 2 months or 3 months of services. So we are definitely not looking at a very encouraging picture at this time. In terms of a little bit more details, probably I will be discussing that in the closed session.
Okay. I guess we can continue the discussion on this because we have about 5 more minutes till we'll have to break for executive session. If nobody calls time, and if anybody else wants to speak.
Adriana?
Okay, I've got Adriana. Anyone else?
Michael, to the stage.
Let Michael, I spoke late. I mean.
Sure.
Let Michael.
Thank you, Adriana. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, just the same, disappointed that the committee did not approve my proposal that we urge the local station boards to begin doing off-air fundraising in line with the proposals that were made to the PNB, and I think approved, actually, by the PNB. So I think that's one of the answers to the situation, is that local boards do need to step up around the question of trying to raise funds from the community or helping out with grants or whatever else. I think we have reached diminishing returns on a lot of on-air fund drives.
Adriana, go ahead.
R. Paul for a sec.
Gotcha, R. Paul. Go ahead, Adriana.
Yes. What I can see is that all the according to the information that you sent us, Sam, all the stations, with the exception of KPFK, all the stations are doing poorly. Is any measures or how it's been, you know, we are having, we will talk in executive session, obviously, about the specifics, but don't you think that we need to, at this point, to cut through all the network employees because we cannot pay for it? We are having Cadillac healthcare insurance, and obviously the foundation cannot pay for. The employees are employees of the Pacifica Foundation and not employees of the stations. Isn't about time that we start thinking for the foundation and start making really real cuts all over the board, because, like you said, all the stations, with KPFK exceptions, all of them are doing poorly. Are we taking the measures now, or I want to know if we are working in those important issues.
So let me make a quick comment here. There is one cost side of the equation, and then there is the income side. What I'm observing is that the cost side is pretty much kind of fixed. There is not much room for making changes. Even if we make changes, probably that may not be so so productive or so efficient. I'm not denying that there is some cost reduction possible, and especially the healthcare plan that you mentioned. And I will be in the union in negotiations. I will be discussing this this issue. I don't know how much I will succeed. But, say, for the larger point, it's the income shortfall that is the major topic. And that we have to address pretty quickly. The second aspect I would say very strongly emphasize would be management action. Because what is happening is that there are not a lot of resolutions that have been passed by the National Finance Committee or the National Board. But unless until they are implemented and they are put in action, or an affirmative action or a proactive action is taken by the stations or, say, from the at the national level, those resolutions or those motions don't really show any effect. So these two are the most contributing factors that are kind of showing their results in the numbers that we are seeing. And I can elaborate. I'm not saying this lightly. I can elaborate on these comments in great detail.
Okay. We've got time for one more. Arpal's on stack. Then we should adjourn to executive. Go ahead, Arpal.
Okay. I'm glad to hear the CFO say that, yes, the real problem is the lack of revenue coming in. And again, it's a radio network, and we're going to be getting we have always gotten the vast bulk of the money through on-air fundraisers, because that's where we get the most people. We're always going to have, we should always have, more people listening than we're going to be able to get to assemble in any venue to hand us money. The idea that, I mean, from the beginning, when the bylaws were done, the whole idea was we would have this big democracy thing, and that it wasn't about getting the people with deep pockets to be on the boards. They weren't supposed to be money boards. They were supposed to be real governance boards with grassroots people in it. And so suddenly saying that the we'll mandate that the LSPs start raising money, I don't think, you know, I mean, you're saying you're going to raise a small amount of money when we have this huge thing here. Now, I think that once we get through these fundraisers in May and some of us into June, I think we're still going to have a low six-figure deficit. And how to fill that in is the question. We can't do a whole hell of a lot of cutting. I know at BAI, I think you run into legal problems if you cut any more. You could lose your license if you cut any more than what we've been cut. And you can't cut your way to prosperity is one of the mantras I hear. I think we may need to have more NFC meetings about this and somehow deal with this, because we need to get more revenue and we need to deal with the air, which is our real only product and the only thing we can manage to reach people with in a large enough numbers to make a difference in a relatively short while. Getting LSBs to somehow start ramping up to raise some large amount of money every year, that's not going to happen in a short while, and I don't know if it could happen even a long while. So we have a big problem. We need to figure this out. If we keep going like this, we're going to hit the end of FY16 with, you know, maybe a couple of hundred grand in a deficit for the whole network, and then we're not going to do much better starting on October 1st. Stuff needs to be discussed that needs to be really looked at, and probably programming is a part of that.
Yeah, right. I'm going to have to close the stack because we're out of time and we're scheduled for an executive session starting in 1 minute. I just want to say and abuse my position as chair as a staff member at KPFA. and a board member at KPFA. We've never had our board raise huge amounts of money, but when the board has made a visible effort, for instance, when they've dug into their own pockets to put up an on-air match, which they've done for several fund drives, it does have a tremendous effect on morale inside the station, for the staff to feel like the board is working to support them and fundraise with them instead of just taking shots from the sidelines. And I would not underrate the impact on overall fundraising that kind of united front morale boost can have on station operations. That said, it is 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern. We are due in executive session. You should all have the phone numbers, and we will be taking up some of these issues as they pertain to personnel and legal issues in that session. We'll see you all there.
See you in a minute.
Good night, everybody.